This is Ted and PK, and thanks for listening to Faith Radio Mornings.
You can hear us live weekdays, and you can check out highlights of our show at any time on myfaithradio.com.
Well, and it's the new year, of course, and so many of us are talking about those several New Year's resolutions, and maybe one of them is to work out. Well, how about doing some stretches and some parenting stretches?
Being stretched. That happens every day for parents of teenagers, I think, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely, because there are the do's and the don'ts. And so many times at the end of the day when you're laying in bed thinking, boy, there were a lot more don'ts than the do's today, that if I could have a do-over, I would maybe have handled that a little bit differently. Well, we've got some help for you today.
John and Kendra Smiley are our guests. They are parenting experts, authors of several books. One of those is called Be the Parent. As hard as that might be, it's a book of encouragement, though, and they're here to encourage us again today. Good morning, you guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
So we're talking about parenting teenagers today, and you've written an article that's posted at faithradionet.com as well on what doesn't work to change a teenager's behavior. Where do you want to start?
Well, you hate to start on the negative, but there are a lot of things that don't work, and there are a lot of parents kind of slipping into these maybe bad habits, and so we wanted to take a look at some of those. And I think maybe just to kind of mention, to begin with, three of the easiest ones, easiest pits to fall into as a parent. Yelling. Yelling does not work. What it tends to do is have the child say, oh, must be free game to yell in this house, and they yell back at you. So we can start with that one. That's one that doesn't seem to work at all.
Yeah, and sometimes that yelling even moves into screaming, and that's even one step beyond the yelling, and we don't think that's very effective at all.
No, in fact, we've heard people talk about child abuse, and I think maybe this might be one they should put in that same category. When we start shrieking at our children, that's hardly being kind. So there's one we should avoid.
Yeah, I've heard it said that it's never okay to yell in your house, ever. I mean, is that appropriate? Do you agree with that statement?
Well, never.
Yeah, it's a big word, I know.
I don't know if I could agree. And plus, I think of the times when we live on a farm and you had to stick your head out the window and yell, boys, come in, it's time to eat.
That's different. We're talking apples and oranges there.
Sure.
Yeah. I think when you're yelling in anger, you know, it always is a time, especially for a parent, to use that famous Lamaze cleansing breath, which is not much good at birth, but helps a lot with raising teenagers, and settle yourself down.
Right. And I think that, Ted, that's a great thing that, if we would say, you know, 99% of the time when we yell at our kids or scream at our kids, it's not very effective because we are trying to communicate to them. And if you just think about it for a second, when you're screaming, you're obviously, as Kendra said, kind of out of control, mm-hmm. and you're not communicating very much at all. So the thing that you're trying to do, you're not getting done.
Yeah, maybe adding that in anger on the end of that is probably a good way to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the other one, too. This is one that I really always am asking myself, am I nagging my kids or am I reminding them? How do you know the difference and where do you stop or start?
Well, you know, you're nagging them if you a lot of times I think maybe it's especially with moms. We nag because we've set down, you know, here's the boundary, this is the consequence. Oh, but we don't want to deliver that consequence. So we have to keep saying, now, you know, I told you it was time to hang up your clothes. Now you need to go in and hang up your clothes. Now remember, if you don't hang up your clothes, then you're not going to be able to fill in the blank. And so I think a lot of times we nag, at least as moms, and I suppose you guys will have to let me know what it is as far as Ted and John, as far as dads, but we nag because we don't really want to deliver the consequence that we've already contracted for. And nagging, you know, a kid just in their mind, I think, says, I wonder how many more times mom's going to say this mm-hmm. before she actually goes into action.
And actually, kids know exactly how many times they're going to say it.
Right.
Each child knows the different parents and knows that, yeah, mom and dad, or mom's going to say it 10 times, dad's going to say it 12, and then finally they get the job done. So I think the definition of nagging is once we get in the mode of saying it over and over and over again with no results, then we probably go from the request into the nag.
Yeah, I've always said the definition of the word immediately depends. It could be now, or it could all depend on how many times your mom has already said immediately.
Right, and we get that question a lot of times in seminars. Well, how many times should I ask my kid to do something? And we say, how many times do you want to? Do you want to ask them two? Do you want to ask them three? They're going to know exactly how many times that you're going to ask before you actually go into motion. And so if you say, well, okay, I'll give them one, that's great. Then give them one. If you want to give them five, as a parent, that's your choice.
And I think it's good, too, to talk about the dual roles that we play as parents, because there are those times in our house. I tend to be Grace and my husband tends to be Law. And so we have this kind of, okay, I know I'm going to be too soft on this. I've already told them once, you take over. And so he'll take over and he'll make it stick. And he makes, you know, it's nice to have those different personalities to kind of back each other up, too.
Oh, definitely. Whenever possible, John and I feel that whenever possible, parenting should be a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny, too, when you think of it in that light. I mean, you have your first child, and it's, you know, two-on-one defense, and then you got your second child, and you're playing a man-to-man, and by the time you get three, you've gone into a zone. But you're working together.
That's really good. John and Kendra Smiley are our guests here on Faith Radio Mornings, regular guests of the show and friends, and they have several books out. We have links up for their website at faithradionet.com. You can get links there and information on many of their books. One of those, as I mentioned before, is called Be the Parent. We're talking about that right now with them here and how to change a teenager's behavior. We take your calls as well at 877-933-2484. If you have a question, maybe a unique situation you're dealing with your teenager, now's the time to call and get some advice from experts. John and Kendra Smiley, 877-933-2484 is the number. We'll continue talking with them after a quick break here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Don't talk back.
7:48, Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. And we're talking with John and Kendra Smiley, the parenting experts, talking about what doesn't work to change teenagers' behavior. A couple more on the maybe what we're calling maybe the negative side, but the things that we've all done. Let's hit those last couple of things and then let's turn it positive, you guys.
Okay, well, one of the things that John and I really encourage parents to avoid like the plague is sarcasm. It's easy to do, especially if, you know, you've kind of been trained in it, but it's never appropriate. It's disrespectful, and I think one of the things, as we treat our kids respectfully, we're much more likely to have respect in return. I also, sarcasm is something can easily be mimicked by a teenager.
Right, and that's one of those that a lot of times it only isn't in the parenting world, but it's in the adult world as well.
Yes.
And it's one of those things that just moves into the parenting realm because the adults are using it quite a bit in their world, and we don't even think that sarcasm is something that we should be using in the adult world, let alone the parenting world.
Right. And another one, and parents fall into this one too, is name-calling. Oh, you're so lazy. Oh, you know, I wish you'd be more responsible. You're so irresponsible. And any kind of labels like that, oh, they stick like glue. And when they're a negative label, you know, that's something that maybe this child 20 years from now will still remember. Unfortunately, and I'm not going to share it with you, I can still remember some of the last things my father said to me that were not kind. And so you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that to your kids.
Well, John and Kendra, then moving forward, we know then not to yell, not to nag, not to make empty threats, not to name call, don't use sarcasm. So that's a good list. But then what can we do? It seems like there's a lot of different areas for parents dealing with teenagers, whether it's get up on time, get your homework done, do what I said. What's your first step in helping them discern what to address?
First step is to do something we talk about a lot, which is to pick your battles wisely. A lot of times parents fall into these things of nagging and yelling and empty threats and all those things because they have a list that is so long of demands. Many of them, those demands, if the parent would step back and look at it, they go, well, I guess that's not really that important. Sometimes parents are overwhelming their teenagers with things. So I would say step one is take a little bit of time to evaluate what's on that long list of, quote, requirements, unquote, and get rid of the things that are not really necessary. It's amazing. If you will eliminate some of those battles that truly are not worth fighting, you'll find that the few that you do think are fighting will become more significant to your teenager, too.
Right. And remember, your teenager is an emerging adult. And if you start thinking that way and hoping that they are making responsible decisions, giving them a little bit more latitude as they do make those responsible decisions, I think it'll help when you, mom and dad, sit down and go over the things, the battles that you want to fight.
You know, when I think of some of the battles that I know that moms have fought with their kids, you've got to make your bed every day. Okay, that's a great idea. If you think that's really that important to be a battle, well, then go ahead, Mom. Again, as John said much earlier, you get to decide as the parent. But we do want to look at that. Is that really, really that important? You know, having a place where your child has control. Maybe their bedroom is a place they can have control. Sooner or later, they're going to have a bedroom they have control over. Why not give them a little bit more latitude as they become that adult, as they are that emerging adult?
Well, and then perhaps to do with your spouse, for sure, but then maybe even with your teenager, sit down in a moment of calm and say, okay, we need to agree. This is the non-negotiable. These are the non-negotiables. Here's where there's some leeway, and just kind of lay it out there and have that understanding, right?
Absolutely. And now here's another time when you want to take out that emotion of yelling or whatever. This is an adult to emerging adult conversation. And you're talking about these things calmly. Your child will probably, unless they know how to push your buttons and get you emotional, which of course they do, they will probably reciprocate with trying to have a calm conversation with you. And so having that adult to adult and saying, yeah, these are the things where, I'm not really going to bend on these.
Just yesterday we got a question, and it was a teenager, and the mom was very concerned because she said the discussion got into emotion and crying and that type of thing. And the communication part just goes out the window when emotions like that come in. So you're right, Ted, when you sit down with your teen, you know, as best you can, make those ground rules at the beginning. You know, let's make this unemotional, let's do this adult to emerging adult, or however you want to say it, so that you can communicate. And it's like you said, which is very important, these things are non-negotiable. These things we can talk about a little bit. And again, parents, you're the ones that are in charge.
And when you have this conversation, realize that your teenager has probably some very good ideas and maybe some reasons. We'll go back to the crazy example of making the bed. Maybe there are some reasons for that. Listen to those and then decide. And you may, on some of them, the ones that aren't completely non-negotiable, you may decide to negotiate. And that's absolutely fine. And you're teaching your child, your teenager, how to have adult conversations.
There's a great story on Fox News today, and I'm wondering if a mom and dad sat down with one of their children and he wrote down all of these rules in a little notebook. A Walmart employee in California found this little notebook, and it's everything from don't get into other people's business, don't call each other names, clean up your messes, no elbows on the table. They put a lot of work into writing down these rules, if you will, but I think that it's kind of interesting because it was obvious that they had talked about these things. And hopefully this child isn't so regimented that, you know, he's just already, you know, already going to be leading his own platoon because he's just so tight. But I think that's an interesting way of maybe just writing that down so that he remembers. But talk about the consequences, because this is really, I think, such an effective way to work through some of, if you have rules, but then the consequences.
Well, there are really kind of two varieties of consequences. There are logical and natural. And natural, probably the best example of a natural consequence would be, you know, don't touch the stove, the hot stove, and of course, if you touch it, what naturally happens, you get burned. For a teenager, they know that already. So maybe an example for a teenager, you know, don't speed, don't drive over the speed limit. Oh, my goodness. The natural consequence, maybe not every time, but could very well be that you're stopped by the state police and you receive a ticket. Now, a logical consequence that might even stem from that is a parent saying, and if you, you know, we really expect you to mind the speeding, you know, the speed limit laws, and if you are ever stopped so that we realize you have broken these, there will be a logical consequence here in our family. You will not see the car keys for a week or whatever.
Right, and I think those logical consequences are the ones that mom and dad have to sit down and look at their kids, look at their emerging adult, and say, okay, you know, what type of person is this person, and then come up with logical consequences that are effective with this emerging adult. And that might be one right there that Kendra came up with, and that was take the keys away so that they can't drive. And those type of things that mom and dad are talking about it, and each individual child is different and probably has different logical consequences.
Right. And we go back to what do we do wrong? What's the wrong thing to do? Make an empty threat. You'll never drive again. First of all, that really punishes the parent of a teenager.
Uh-huh.
Those kinds of things we want to avoid.
Well, and is there a value to rewarding good behavior? Say if you've driven for 6 months without any incidents, you know, we'll go out for dinner or we'll do this or we'll do that, or maybe here's a little gas card, just a little, you know, way to kind of thing?
You bet. And I think that's the thing with emerging adults, with teenagers, that as they make good choices, we're lengthening the rope. We're giving them more and more responsibility, and they can see that, I made some good choices here. And they can see that. Teens can see that. Mom and dad respect them. Mom and dad trust them. And we are allowing them to make more and more decisions. And that should be happening, PK. That's one of the things that, as a parent, if we're not doing that, that's something that we should be doing, because it's helping them understand and helping them grow and helping them make one good choice after the next.
That's right. Kids will usually live up or down to our expectations. And just what you said is something we talk about in our book, Be the Parent. Catch your kids in the act of doing something right and tell them.
Sounds good. Make sure that all your kids get rewarded instead of just one who's, maybe you have one that's really a good kid, but spread it out so they all don't get jealous.
Yeah, I think we're going to be talking about that in the next couple months. It's very possible how easy it is to focus on maybe the child who continually excels. Oh, don't you hate that when you're not that kid?
right. John and Kendra Smiley have been our guests here on Faith Radio Mornings. Their websites are linked up at faithradionet.com. Parenting Like a Pro is one of those. And also, they have numerous books that are very helpful for parents. We'll link it all up at faithradionet.com under Faith Radio Mornings. And just in the last maybe 30 seconds, guys, if you can, what's the first step for parents that want to bring in kind of a new day in their house with their teen?
I would say probably the first step is for mom and dad to sit down and talk together. That's huge, that they come to an agreement, that they pray about it, that they seek God's wisdom. If they're going to make a change in their family and the way they do things, that's the first step.
And make one change at a time.
Right.
No major overhaul.
There you go. Perfect. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Well, we'll be in touch with you again in a couple weeks, guys. Blessings to you both.
Thank you.